Welcome to Scary Story Time by Spooky Boo. www.scarystorytime.com. Hey, it's Spooky Boo with Midnight Monsters, a part of the Spooky Boo Scary Storytime Show. Tonight, our guest is Bob Johnson, who has an amazing story about the haunting of his very own home. So welcome, Bob, to the show. How did all this start?
Started back in 2011. I moved over to my mom's house to take care of her. She was in her 90s. And she eventually wound up in a rest home and got pneumonia. So she told the people in the rest home that she wanted to pass away back at home in her house, which my dad built back in like 1950. So they were the only residents, and this was like their castle. So she had to be back here. So we brought her down, and she was in the back bedroom, and I was able to tell her that she made it here. And you know, she said, I did. And I said, yes. And then she fell asleep because she was on morphine. And she was back in that bedroom for maybe 4 or 5 days before she finally passed.
She was just waiting.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. Well, she wanted to be here. So she got her wish. And so a few weeks later, I kept finding the pillows from the bed, like on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, well, damn dog's back there pulling the pillows off the bed. So I put the pillows back on the bed, shut the door, went out, came back, and one pillow was standing straight up on end. So I knew the dog couldn't get through the door, and she definitely couldn't stand a pillow up on end like that. In fact, I tried to do it. It's okay. This is kind of weird. But I never really believed this kind of stuff anyway, so you always try to figure out some logical, scientific explanation, which I couldn't. But there was also a really sweet odor in the room. Couldn't figure out what it was. I thought, okay, maybe there's a perfume bottle, because it wasn't that long, so I hadn't, like, moved any of her stuff out of the back. So looked around, there was nothing. Left the windows open, Lysol, everything else. Couldn't get rid of the smell. So I would be sitting in, I guess you call the TV room, and the front room you could catch like out of the corner of my eye. And I would see like shadows moving around in the front room. And I'd look over and they'd be gone.
Right.
And so I'd only catch them out of the corner of my eye. I couldn't look straight and see them, or I could definitely not go in there and find out what they were. Just kind of gray, blurry shadows. And again, I just, well, must be headlights through the curtains or something. But as this went on, I would go in that back bedroom and I get the weird kind of tingling up my spine kind of feeling. And I thought, you know, this has got to be my imagination at this point. So there was a weekend when I had to go out of town. And at the time, my wife had Alzheimer's, so my daughter came over to spend the weekend and watch her while I was out at this trade show. And so I came home, and she told me twice this weekend, I heard footsteps come up the basement steps. And I know I didn't imagine it because the dog was barking at them. And she'd go and open the door, and there'd be nothing there.
Oh.
And she said that had happened like twice. And so so it was kind of getting a little weird. And then I was making dinner one night, and my dog came in, and her eyes were, like, wide open, and she was shaking like a leaf. And I thought she was having a seizure or something, and I held her for a little bit, and she calmed down. A friend of mine who was really into this stuff says, oh, well, she could have seen something. Who knows? Yeah. So one night I was in the bedroom. I have a mirror, like, in the hallway, which when you come out of the bedroom, you can see that front room through the mirror. Mm-hmm. And as I came out, I saw a figure standing in the front room. And you couldn't make out male, female, or identity, but there was definitely a figure standing there. So I rushed around in the front room, nothing. I was telling some friends about it, and one friend said, well, you know, your wife has Alzheimer's. Your mom's probably hanging around because she thinks that she can do something or she can help in some way.
Mm-hmm.
He says, so you need to just kind of go and tell her it's okay to go. You know, it's all right to leave. And
right.
Then somebody else asked me if she had like a death experience because she was like under in the morphine and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured, well, maybe she doesn't know she's dead. Maybe she, you know, she was under all this morphine and things when she passed. So she didn't really experience death. So maybe she's still hanging out back there. So I figured, you know, what do I have to lose? So I went back there one day when I was home alone and had a little talk with her and told her, you know, it's okay to go. You know, I'm not sure, you know, what anyone's thoughts about the afterlife is, if I sent her off to heaven or out to the oblivion or whatever, but I just told her, you know, it's okay to go. You know, there's nothing you can do for me here. Although if she was moving pillows, I could put a dust rag on the dresser or something, but yeah, I had a little talk. I talked for maybe about, you know, 20 minutes or so. And then about 2 hours later, the smell was gone.
Oh,
and nothing
wow.
had happened since. And my daughter came over and I said, hey, go check out the back bedroom. And she went back there and she comes out and she says, it smells different and it like feels totally different. What did you do? I said,
mm-hmm.
well, I evicted grandma. but that was, I thought, the end of it.
Yeah.
And then about 6 months later, I had a guy here from AT&T because the phone line went out. So he had to run a new phone line under the house. So he was downstairs under the house running the phone line. And then he comes upstairs and he asked me, he goes, did anybody pass away in this house? And I said, yeah, my mom did about 6 months ago. And he says, yeah, because somebody told me to get the hell out of there.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay, you had more of an experience than I did. Because I hadn't really considered that. I used to do like audiovisual installs, but it was all in corporate environments. I didn't really think about the guys that do like home install stuff.
Yeah.
And I was asking him and he said, oh yeah. He goes, I've been to different houses and you know, every once in a while you'll be crawling under a house and you'll feel someone like grab your leg and you'll turn around and there's nothing there. Or one time he was in like East Palo Alto in an attic running a line. And he said, suddenly the light started flickering and the door slammed shut. And he went downstairs and got the owner and made him come up there and stand with him while he did the rest of the work. But, but there hasn't really been anything since then. So I really don't know if that was her downstairs or something else downstairs.
Yeah. Hopefully it was
still...
and not somebody else.
Well, that was the thing. Going through all this, I always, you know, it was all weird stuff that was going on, but I was never really afraid because I figured, okay, it's I assume it's my mom, so she's probably not going to be rattling chains or doing anything to scare me.
Right.
Although I did tell her when I told her it was okay to go, I did say, you can go, but do not give me a sign because you're going to scare the crap out of me. So just, just go and, you know, go and do your thing. But
still hanging around.
Yeah, like
Well,
like I say, I got to agree with one guy who probably thought that she was under the impression that she could help with my wife and all that. Cause my wife ended up in a nursing home like a couple of years later. But, she probably thought she could help out in some way hanging around. But especially if she didn't think she was really dead or she didn't have that kind of death experience or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Do you still live in that house?
I do. Yeah. I didn't run. I didn't sell the house and split, but yeah, no, I'm still here. And like I say, you know, it's been a few years now and I haven't had another encounter. I did have the house repiped the other day and no one said anything downstairs. They were running pipes in that same area, but,
and they were down underneath the house, crawl space.
But yeah, they were all down there and everything else. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe these are things that just kind of come and go or Yeah, maybe she comes back for a visit once in a while, and that happened to be one of her visits. Who's this guy downstairs in my house?
Yeah, that's maybe if she feels a bad presence or something, she shows up just to make sure everything's okay, and then goes off again.
Yeah, so yeah, it'd be interesting to look into it further. I don't really know, you know,
mm-hmm.
where else you can look into these things or whatever, but. I don't think there's anything if someone came in here with a ghost meter or something. I'm sure there's probably nothing that would show up.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, especially there's ones you can put on your phones, but I don't know if they're just some people
like
claim.
A ghost app?
I haven't tried one yet.
Right. if I knew about it, I could have tried it.
Anybody in my house.
But it is funny that, you know, when I tell people the story, invariably, mm-hmm. I'd say probably 80 to 85% of the people have their own story they'll tell back to me.
Right.
And, you know, I never really thought it was that widespread or, you know, or that, you know, maybe it happens to a few people here and there. But it seems like almost everybody has a story of their grandmother's house or their aunt's house or, you know, being on vacation somewhere in a, you know, bread and breakfast or something and experiencing something.
I think it happens more often. A lot of people don't notice, they're too busy or they're not open to seeing something or, you know, noticing like you thought it might have been a different kind of scent or another scent, maybe not her perfume, but somebody else's or something that rolled on the floor. You know, you had no idea.
Well, I think that's true also because, like I say, when it first started happening, I tried to logically figure out, okay, you know, how did this happen or why did this happen? And then
mm-hmm.
it just got to the point where I ran out of explanations, I guess, and I just had to figure, okay, you know, something is definitely going on.
Exactly. And that's why I'm doing this, is so people can hear others, the experience of
uh-huh.
others, and call in and tell their stories as well. So I really appreciate you calling and telling.
Yeah, well, like I say, you know, a lot of the stuff I saw was just kind of, you know, shadows and things. But, you know, I have heard people tell me that, you know, they're sitting on the couch and suddenly their mother's sitting next to them, you know, or whatever. And they actually see, you know, okay, this is my mom or this is my grandmother mm-hmm. or whatever. Or, you know, maybe they come into a room or something. Yeah, but.
Yeah. And I think being able to see them and feel them sit down next to you would kind of creep me out a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have dreams every once in a while. Both my parents are gone. But I'll have dreams every once in a while where I'll see one of them in the dream and we'll be, you know, interacting in the dream. But I'll know somehow subconsciously that, you know, you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be, you know, I thought you died or whatever, but, you know, they're
right.
alive in the dream. But
and they seem so real, don't they? The dreams are just like you can.
Oh,
always,
yeah.
You could I have those kind of dreams about my cat and my horse quite often. And I know people think, oh, animals don't go anywhere. But you know what? I don't know. I had some really strange things happen after my cat died. So they can think what they want.
No, that's true. I have, I'm on my fourth and fifth dog right now. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't had the other three come back and haunt me that I know of, but,
but
I wouldn't doubt it. Of course, then again, I moved. So if they may be at the old house looking around, wondering where everybody went, but
that's true. It would be sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so like I say, I never really had a, before that, I was always kind of wondering, okay, what happens when you die? You know, do you go up to a cloud and get wings or do you just like, does your brain just snuff out and that's it? Your consciousness
mm-hmm.
is gone. I had shoulder surgery one time and, you know, they put me under for like 3 hours. And when I woke up, it was almost like I fell asleep and then I woke up, I was in another room. It was 3 hours later. So I'm like, okay, I didn't exist for that 3 hours mentally or whatever. Maybe that's what death is like. But then when I went through this whole thing, then it's like, okay, well, no, there must be something out there, some kind of.
You can't have all these feelings and have them just disappear. They've got to just dissipate and go out in the air. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if your brain is made up of energy and everything else, yeah, it's got to, I guess it just goes. I mean, you always say the people talk about near death and they, you know, they see themselves kind of floating above their body or whatever. But
In the last show, in the show last Sunday night, we had a woman who's died 9 times.
Really?
And
she was like a cat woman, or?
I'll have to tell her that. She'll probably laugh. No, unfortunately, there's some health complications, but she's died 9 times and horrific experience with her son passing away in front of her, and she's had near death experience while they were working on her, the paramedics were working on her. When she woke up, they asked her why she had a sock in her mouth, and she said, because my son put it there. Yeah, they had no idea. Her son was dead before that. So,
right.
He wasn't really in the room. I mean, he was in the room, but he wasn't. So lots of really strange things happened during that time.
Yeah, there was a documentary, which I'm trying to track down. There was this guy, Forrest J. Ackerman, who was the, he was like the editor of Famous Monsters magazine, and he had this Acker mansion. He used to let people in with his whole collection and things. And he and his best friend made a pact that whoever passed away first would come back and give the other one a sign or some idea of whether or not there's something out there or what the afterlife is or whatever. And so Forrest J. Ackerman passed away, and his friend made a documentary of supposedly what happened after that. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be pretty interesting, but I don't remember the name of it, so it's hard to track down. But
That would be interesting. Yeah, everything's online nowadays, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's right there on YouTube or something. I just need to figure out the title or do a search for Forrest J. Ackerman Afterlife or something and see what comes up.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we have mediums on here. I plan to have mediums on here and other people. Uh-huh. So if one pops up one night, and pay attention to the calendar that I have online, and then maybe, you know, we call in and they'll be taking questions or something. So
yeah,
kind of a new thing for me to do, but it should be really interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, and then I'm talking to them now about running a spot for the Godzilla show coming up next month. So I may try to get a spot together in the next couple of days and get it over to Tom Warsh. I think he's going up there Thursday to record.
So, yeah, cool.
But no, it's definitely fun having, you know, a horror host back on the air in the Bay Area again.
Right. It's nice. So, bring the Bay Area back to its roots.
Pretty much, yeah. It's nice that, you know, he's honoring Bob Wilkins and everything.
Exactly. It was fun to watch the show with Rob Wilkins the other night.
No, no, definitely. Yeah, he and the whole Wilkins family is really nice. We got to know all of them towards the end of Bob's life. He got Alzheimer's, and we did some benefit shows for him, and we did, you know, they were shows to help pay for his care. And we had one in El Cerrito, one in Sacramento, and did a few others. And, they were all, you know, really nice. And, you know, to this day, I mean, they still talk about it. They had Sally on, and they had Rob. He's got a daughter, Nancy, that I guess, hasn't been on yet.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
But yeah, they have, Creatures Con coming up in a few weeks in San Ramon.
Oh,
and
really?
I guess the cast is going to be there, and John Stanley, and I'm sure some of the Wilkins will be there. They had it before at the Ream Theater, and I know I've seen Sally there a couple times, and Rob was there once.
Mm-hmm.
But
I should go. And say hi.
It's a fun show. We did a screening of Tom Wersch's Watch Horror Films, Keep America Strong, Journey Through Creature Features documentary. Mm-hmm. We did that down in Santa Cruz and showed that and The Living Dead. And we had Rob Emmett from KFJC host it, and John Stanley was there, and Rob Wilkins was the guest. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. Did it like a Halloween show.
That would be fun.
So now we're over at the Balboa, so hopefully we'll do some more shows there.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the one next month. Huh?
Is that in San Francisco? I don't know where that is.
Yeah. The Balboa, yeah, it's out on Balboa. Balboa Avenue over in San Francisco. And
I used to live there, and I still don't know a lot of places that are out there.
So. That's a pretty cool theater, and we're doing like 2 days, three movies, and we have vendors there selling toys and art and things, and we've got a couple authors coming out that wrote a book on one of the directors of the films, and yeah, it should be cool. We're just starting to get the posters and postcards out and around. So
you're going to be there on what day is that?
For Creatures Con or for the Godzilla show? Creatures Con will be Sunday, August, I want to say 12th, I think, whatever that Sunday is.
Okay.
We'll be there because Frank, who is Lord Bloodraw, was just a guest on our podcast like last week. And he asked if we'd come out there and podcast from Creatures Con. So I don't think we're going to do it live, but I think we'll be out there. We got a table and a booth and whatever. We'll be recording segments and talking to guests and things.
Right. How fun. Okay.
So, yeah, should be a blast.
So if you want to tell everybody what you do specifically, then we can tell everybody what you do, and then they can look you up online.
Well, basically, I've got my fingers in too many pies right now, but, we, as Bay Area Film Events, we've done movie screenings and film festivals in the Bay Area since 2004, and we have a Godzilla show coming up August 25th and 26th at the Balboa Theater, and this will be our 36th show, I believe, and we'll have three movies. We have Shin Godzilla, we've got Mothra, and we've got King Kong versus Godzilla. And we'll have vendors selling art and toys and figures there. And we've got a couple authors, Ed Godzeski and Steve Rifle, who wrote a book called Ishiro Honda, A Life in Film from Godzilla to Kurosawa. He was a director of all the classic movies. And we'll be giving away prizes, and we'll have guys in suits, and it'll be a whole lot of fun. It's our first time at the Balboa. This is actually our seventh Godzilla night, which is actually Godzilla weekend, I guess, this one. And the others have been in San Leandro, but we just moved it over to San Francisco because we feel that there's probably a bigger audience and more people who want to attend over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we have good success at the Balboa, then we'll be doing some more shows there. And then another pie would be the Planet 8 podcast, which I think we've got about 5 episodes out so far. And there's one coming out on August 8th, which will be interviewing the Orwigs, Gail and Raymond Orwig, who wrote a book called Where Monsters Walked. which is all about movie locations throughout California, from movies from the 50s to the mid 60s. And then other than that, we do a website called Sci-Fi Japan, which has taken off quite wildly. We've been doing that for about 10 years now. But so basically you can look up BayAreaFilmEvents.com or Planet8Podcast.blogspot.com or SciFiJapan.com. And all my iterations will be throughout all those.
That is pretty amazing. I grew up loving Godzilla. I went to Japan in 86 and said, asked them, you know, where's all your Godzilla stuff? And the guy looks at me like, what?
Yeah, I went with some friends in 2009. And luckily we had some people we knew over there. And one of them was Shinichi Wakasa, who built all the Godzilla suits in the 2000s for the Millennium series or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he came out and got us and took us over to Daiei, where they made all the old Gamera movies. And they have these huge statues of Daimajin, like Majin Monster of Terror and all that. And then they had a giant Gamera statue and another monster and things. And then we went over to his shop and checked out all the suits that he made. And then we actually got to go to Toho. And my friend said, well, they don't shoot a whole lot here anymore as far as the monster stuff goes, so don't expect to see anything. But, you know, they can take you to show you the sound stages and the studios and things. And we're like, oh, that's cool. So, he took us in there and he was showing us the different sound stages and things. And we stepped into one and we looked over and there was this set there for a movie that they were shooting. And my friend Kevin goes, you know what that is? And I look, I go, yeah, it's familiar. He goes, that's the Bridge of the Yamato from this series, Space Cruiser Yamato. And they were shooting this big Yamato movie. So, we asked the guy who was taking us around, we said, so, is that the Yamato? And he like suddenly just went wide eyed and like went to our hosts and he's like talking to him. And then he says, oh, the cat's out of the bag. You weren't supposed to know. And so he left and he came back and got us. And I guess because he realized that we were geeks, he let us into the wardrobe department. Mm-hmm. And we were walking through there. And then he brought us into this one room and he says, well, wait here. And so he and this other guy come in with this big wooden crate. And he opens the crate. And inside the crate was the oxygen destroyer from the first Godzilla movie, where they take it underwater and the bubbles, you know, destroys all the oxygen and Godzilla turns into a skeleton or whatever. But this was the actual prop. And it was big. And, you know, he let us hold it. And it was actually made out of, like, lead and glass. So it was, like, really heavy. And
so
then
cool.
he brought us out the diving helmet that one of the Akira, Akihiko Hiroshi wore in the first movie. And Akihiko Hirata, that's it, wore in the first movie. And so we got to check that out. And then he took us in this other room and opened the door, and it was like tattered pieces of what was left from some of the suits. There was like a Godzilla head from this one GMK movie, and there was some Megaguirus props and some claws and some feet and things. But it was cool to check out. It was like we weren't going to be able to see any of that until, I guess, proved our worth or something, and they let us in there. But
right. The only thing I ever got to see was a huge, giant Godzilla model on top of a pachinko gaming area.
There you go. Well, it's weird because, you know, everybody always told me, you know, when you go to Japan, you can look for Godzilla, but Ultraman is everywhere. They go, that's the big thing, is Ultraman. And it seemed to be true. And, in fact, coming out of our hotel, there was a vending machine there that had cans of Ultraman soda. And so I'd come, you know, we'd come back from a day of sightseeing, and I'd have some coins in my pockets. I'd throw them in the vending machine and see if, I think I got maybe 7 of the 8 different ones that were in there.
Nice.
And, you know, it's like,
save them.
I figure I had to like dump the soda out because I couldn't like take cans of soda on the plane. They'd probably just burst down the luggage. So, I'm diabetic, so I couldn't drink the stuff, but my friend tried it and he's like, it's like really bad, like bubblegum flavored soda. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't try it. But,
so, that's fascinating.
There's definitely a blast. We were there for like 10 days and then we still couldn't see everything. It was like, just trying to get around. We went out to Nagoya, which there was a castle out there that Godzilla destroyed like back in like Godzilla versus the Thing. And as we were taking the high speed rail out there, a friend of mine was like taking pictures out the window. And then I looked over and I said, oh, take a picture of that castle over there. Hurry up, take a picture. And he's like, why? And I go, well, that's a Tawny castle. That's the castle that in the classic still and scenes from like King Kong versus Godzilla, they're standing on each side of the castle and destroying it. And that was the castle. So we had to go back the next day and go to that.
So unfortunately we've run out of time, but I'd like to thank Bob for showing up on the show and talking about his experiences and his haunted house and also about the experiences in Japan. That sounds really fascinating. Seeing all the Godzilla history, and check it out. Go to his website, and if you're in the Bay Area, visit a show and see what's going on. This is Spooky Boo. If you have calls, if you have any questions or calls, you want to call in your own scary story, you can call me at the new phone number. Let me give you that new phone number right now, because it changed from last week. But the new phone number is coming up here real quick. Oh, I have so many windows on my desktop. I never find anything. I don't have the new phone number memorized at the moment, so it's going to take a second, but doing everything live. The new phone number is 646-787-1694. So you can give it a call and tell me your scary stories. I'll be writing some other scary stories that you can listen to, and then call in your own, 646-787-1694. Spooky Boo Scary Story Time runs every day, almost, and you can listen to it on the podcast. You can download it and listen to it live, streaming, or you can call in your scary stories on Midnight Monsters on Sunday nights from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Sunday evenings. That specific time.
Back about 10 years ago, I moved my family of 3 boys into what would be the nicer side of town we lived in. Most of the houses on that side of the city were older and dated back to the late 1800s. Some were very beautiful, showing the different accents of the time they were built. The house we moved into was a quaint 2-story house with 2 bedrooms upstairs, and downstairs sported the bathroom, kitchen, living room, and the dining room. There was also a back door porch on the side of the house, facing the driveway. We lived next to an older, bigger house that had an old candy store next to it, adjacent to our driveway. The rumor is the candy store had been burnt down, and after cleaning it out, the owners used it for storage. We moved in, and it went well for a few weeks. Then one night, my oldest son started screaming in his sleep. He began getting night terrors a few nights a week, from then on, where he would scream and sleepwalk at the same time. I would have to help him get back into bed and calm him down. In the morning, he would remember doing nothing at all during the event. Then, one day, my middle son said he was walking up the stairs and felt like someone was pushing him up from behind, forcing him to go faster. It was the same night when he swore he had heard an old woman's voice in his room say, I'm going to kill you. He would hear random whispering in the room from an old woman and possibly a little girl. We tried to record it on a computer, but all we could hear on the program was static. After a few nights, he started sleeping in the loft because he was too scared to sleep in the room. During the times we lived there, we would also have little things happen all of the time. The lights would go on and off by themselves. These weren't just the lights you could hit a light switch on the wall. These were also lights that you had to physically turn the knob to get them on. The ceiling fan would also go on and off by itself. Then, every once in a while, the front door would open if you didn't put the deadbolt on. The door could have the knob locked and it would just open up by itself. Then we could hear a piano playing. At first, I thought it might be a neighbor, but we could only hear the piano from inside the house. Right before we moved, I was sitting in my office, which was a small room located off the kitchen. The landlords called it a pantry, but it was bigger than a pantry and there were no shelves, hookups, or anything. It looked more like a storage room, except it had a window in it, so I turned it into an office where I could work from home. It was a weird little room, but I figured they just used it for storing brooms and cleaning supplies. At night, though, it was definitely creepy, because as the rest of the house settled, it always seemed like the door would open on its own. The door was directly across from the porch that had a window looking out on the porch, and then one from the porch looking directly at the window of the candy store. Sometimes it looked like there were shadows walking around the driveway next to the old candy store. Then, one day, my son kept on sneaking up on me and interrupting my work, so I put a cheap laser alarm across the floor. It would buzz every time he walked through the office door, and he didn't like the noise, so it kept him from doing it. Then I could feel someone watching me and noticed a kid's shadow that I thought was him. The alarm went off, and I turned around quickly, but no one was there. I yelled for him to come back to the door, but then I heard him down the hall in the bathroom asking what I needed, that he would be done in a minute. There was no way he could have made it to the bathroom that fast. A few days later, I was down in the basement doing laundry, and as clear as day, I heard a little girl's voice behind me say, "Hi there." I looked all around and no one was around at all. That basement was really creepy. It was always cold, dark, and damp, feeling just like a basement would feel like, but it also had weird objects sitting inside crevices in the walls, such as a really old box of marbles and other toys. It was the place in the house that had the worst feeling of someone being around. We also had other annoyances that went on that may or may not be related, such as bats coming out in the middle of the day and items like keys and small toys disappearing. All of this could have been simply a coincidence, but still, it was really creeping us out. I had asked the previous owner what she thought about the house. She said that after they bought it, they too heard a piano and the lights going on and off. Doors would randomly open as well as the windows. While writing this, I realized that we did have a window in the upstairs that would open and shut by itself. These are old-style windows that you have to push up, and this one was always hard to push up, but not when we would find it opened on its own. We would never see it open up, but on the days when it was really cold outside, when there was no way we would open it, the window would be open. I did a search online. There is no history of the house of anyone dying, but there are stories about the same kind of strange activity that we had in a house that is either the same house or one on the same street. I could certainly imagine that it is the same place. It has to be. This is Spooky Boo. If you've enjoyed this story, please give it a thumbs up and hit the subscribe button to get more. Also, I'd love to know your comments about the things that have happened. Leave them below in the comments section and let me know if you've ever been haunted. You can send me a scary story to scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. This story was sent in from friends of mine from YouTube, Grass Print and Canvella Wolf Spirits. Their YouTube channels are linked below. Hey Spooky, this is Canvella, Grass Print's friend. I had a creepy experience with him that he said I should share with you. My age is 23. Last night, Grasp and I were having a late night to early morning chat on my Gamebox server. Grasp wanted a snack, so he told me he'd be right back. I heard him walk up the stairs of his basement and shut the door. A few seconds later, I hear someone pick up his headphones, and a man with a deep, raspy voice says to me, "I'll be right back," in a very sensual way. Being a victim of sexual assault, this awoke a fear I never thought I would ever experience again. In my panic state, I muted myself and continued to listen to this guy rummage through Grasp's things. To me, it felt like an eternity, but it was only a few minutes until I heard Grasp come down the stairs again. I was so shaken up I couldn't even talk to him, so I frantically started to send him messages. Grasp assured me no one was down there, but I know what I heard. I swear his roommate was down there somewhere, creeping in on us. There's a ghost in the attic. I know that sounds strange, but really there is. That's what Debbie told Mom every night as we were tucked into bed. She was 10 at the time. I was 14. I always told her that ghosts didn't exist, but she never stopped believing. Eventually, after a year living in that house and her claiming there was a ghost there, Mom and Pa got annoyed by it. She was too young to have such beliefs, but she refused to give up on Charlie the ghost. When she was almost 12, I couldn't stand sharing a room with her. Her babbling all night in her sleep and talking to Charlie all morning while awake. I took her to the library hoping to find proof that nobody died there. The newspaper clippings had a different idea, though. Charlie, or Charles Hansen, disappeared from that house long before my sister and I had been born. He was 12. They solved his case only a couple of years before we had moved in. I wish I'd never read how he died, about how he had been shoved into a wooden box and sealed behind a brick wall in the attic. He'd been nailed there by the shirt, and the lid of the box was chained, locked, and nailed closed. My sister took that as proof of her ghost's experience. But I just wanted to ask Ma and Pa why we would move into a house like this, and whether or not they knew what happened to that kid. Do you know what they told me? The price was dropped because that kid died here. I was appalled. Then, in the middle of the night, my sister disappeared from her bed. She was gone, missing. None of us had woken up until late into the morning. The authorities never found her, and my parents refused to leave the house. They loved it there and didn't want to move her stuff around. I moved out when I was 17, refusing to stay in the house that my sister... Well, never mind. To this day, I wear a golden charm bracelet that my sister had worn the other half of. I gave it to her on her 12th birthday. It wasn't until I was almost 20 that I returned. My parents wanted to move out now, and I was glad to help them. I couldn't stand what happened to my sister there, but I was going to get the house. I was already making plans on selling it. It was late that night when my parents had left the house for different reasons. Pa went to a bar to hang out with his buddies, acting like the child he mentally was. Mom went to play bingo and most likely gossip with her friends. It was just me at home. I tried to relax and watch TV, but the house made me too uneasy. It would make you kind of paranoid too, so shut your trap. I was so close to falling asleep when the light ping of a hammer against nails caused my eyes to fly open. I recognized the noise.
I'd heard it in my dreams the night my sister disappeared, and it's recurred in my nightmares ever since. I flung off the couch and down the hall to the attic entrance. I pulled the rope and climbed the ladder that had slid down. "Who's there?" I hollered over and over, but nobody replied. It was the first time I'd ever been in the attic, and will be the last. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary except the left wall, which was brick instead of wood like the others. The brick seemed old, except for a small area that seemed to have been replaced by newer bricks. I could have just left it there. The bricks could have been replaced by Ma and Pa, but then I remembered that newspaper clipping from all those years ago. I quickly searched the boxes looking for something to smash the wall in. I settled for a hammer. I bashed it against the wall over and over again until a pungent smell wafted out. I gagged and staggered away, my eyes tearing and my nose burning, but I soon returned to the wall. I dug at the bricks with my hands until a simple wooden chest was visible. It was chained and locked, and the floor underneath was blood-stained in a pool. A key sat beside it. I quickly unlocked the chains, tears continuing to fall as I opened the lid, but this time it wasn't because of the smell of the rot. It was because of the small body inside. The blood-stained pajamas. The hair that had fallen out in chunks. And the golden charm clenched tightly in my baby sister's hand. This is Spooky Boo. If you've enjoyed this story, please give it a thumbs up and go ahead and leave a comment below and let me know what you think. Also, if you'd like to send your own stories in, please send them to scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. I'd love to read them for you.